Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about training a child's will. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, we read, "Children, the right thing for you to do is to obey your parents as those whom the Lord has set over you." The first commandment to contain a promise was, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Fathers, don't overcorrect your children or make it difficult for them to obey the commandment. Bring them up with Christian teaching in Christian discipline. One radio listener wrote to say that her little girl enjoyed this program very much, but when I quoted this first verse, "The right thing for you to do, children, is to obey your parents," she said, "Turn that lady off." Well, some of you may have felt like that too, some of you children who are listening to me today, but this is what the Bible says. And another little boy thought that his daddy had made up that verse when he read it. He said, "You put that in." Well, here it is. It's right here in my Bible in front of me. Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, the right thing for you to do is to obey your parents as those whom the Lord has set over you." So to you parents, just be reminded that the Lord has set you over your children. And in that placing of you in such a position, He has given you a very solemn responsibility. And remember, fathers, don't overcorrect your children or make it difficult for them to obey the commandment. People love what they nowadays call creativity. Sometimes people say to me, "It must be wonderful to be a creative human being." In fact, when my first book had just been finished, it wasn't off the presses yet. I had just finished the manuscript. And a lady in New York said exactly that to me, and I was sort of perplexed. I thought, whatever makes her think I'm a creative human being? Creative? What have I made? I've never made anything out of nothing. God is the creator. He's the one who, by the word of His power, can bring anything into being. But I can't make anything out of nothing. When I write, I simply take the experience of my own life or the teachings that I have received from others and the Word of God and try to put it onto a page in some sort of way which will be helpful to other people. When I make a cake, I certainly don't make it out of nothing. I usually make it out of a package, but if I start from scratch, it's still scratch, isn't it? I've got to have the scratch, the eggs and the milk and the flour and all the rest of it. But one thing does come much closer to being creative than the writing of a book or the making of a cake or composing a piece. George MacDonald puts it this way, "To do what we ought as children of God is an altogether higher, more divine, more potent, more creative thing than to write the grandest poem, paint the most beautiful picture, or build the most magnificent temple." Think about that. To do what we ought as children of God is more creative than anything else in the world. And here's a specific command for the children of the children of God: do what your parents tell you. And a specific command for fathers: don't overcorrect your children. So in obedience to those commands, you are being more creative than the greatest poet or the greatest painter or the greatest architect. The job of parents is to train a child's will, to train it to be strong to do right, to guide persuade and induce the child to want to do the right thing. I've often said that my husband Lars has the gift of making people want to do what he would like them to do. And that really is a gift. Some of you might call that manipulation, but I don't think it's manipulation when the person is perfectly aware of the fact that he wants them to do the thing that they find they want to do. And the same thing is true of wise parents. Ask God to give you wisdom to make the child want to do the right thing, the thing that you want him to do, which you certainly believe is the right thing. The parent's effort should be always to help the child to will in the direction of the right. Show him what's right for a child, which is to obey. Show him the alternative, which is a spanking or some other form of punishment that you may choose. Then the child makes a choice. He can choose to obey or he can choose to be spanked. All through life, a person must understand the legitimate consequences of his actions, and then he is privileged to choose. If the child does not learn this, if he's not guided and taught and persuaded and induced to choose the right when he's still a child, it becomes next to impossible for him to make those sometimes difficult choices when he becomes an adult. Punishment is a penalty attached to choice. It's not brute force, and I would like to try to make this as clear as I possibly can. Parents are responsible to punish their children. The scripture makes that very clear. But that punishment should be understood as a penalty attached to a choice. It's not brute force applied to compel action against choice. Now, I know this may be a little confusing for some of you, but I hope that I can help you to understand it, and I hope that a book that I have in front of me will also make it clearer than I can do. The child must understand that if he chooses the wrong, that he thereby incurs a penalty. In other words, he chooses a spanking. Now, the book that I have in front of me is called Hints on Child Training, and it's written by Henry Clay Trumbull, Trumbull, published by Wohlgemuth and Hyatt in Brentwood, Tennessee. Now, I don't really know whether this is a legitimate recommendation for this book or not, but I really can't resist telling you that Henry Clay Trumbull was my great-grandfather. And this book was published 100 years ago, and it has been brought back into print by Wohlgemuth and Hyatt, obviously because they think that it's relevant today. And as I have reread this book, I had read it many years ago, I would agree that it is every bit as relevant as it was 100 years ago when Henry Clay Trumbull was raising my grandmother, among others. He had 8 children altogether. 5 daughters survived, 1 son, and 2 sons died. But he gives this story in his book. A wise young mother was just giving her little boy a bit of candy, which was peculiarly prized by him, when, in speaking to a lady visitor, he called her by the familiar term used by older members of the family in addressing her. The mother reminded him of the manner in which he should speak to the lady. He refused to conform to this. "Then I cannot let you have this candy," said the mother. "All right," was the willful reply. "I'd rather go without the candy than call her what you tell me to." The mother turned quietly away, taking the candy with her. An hour later, that child came to his mother saying, "Mama, perhaps you can give me that candy now, for I will always call that lady just what you tell me to." A few added words from the mother at that juncture settled that point for all time. Thenceforward, the child did as he had thus been led to will to do. His will had not been broken, but it had been newly directed by judicious training. Now, I hope that makes sense to you. It sounds very sensible to me. The course to be pursued is that the mother must give herself at once to firm and gentle endeavors to bring the child to use his own will freely and gladly in the direction of her commands to him. If necessary, let there be no more of sleeping or eating in that home until that child, under the forceful pressure of wise counsel and of affectionate entreaty, has willed to do that which he ought to do, has willed to be an obedient child. Here again is the difference between the wise training of the will and the always unwise and unjustifiable breaking of the will. I hope you understood that. Let me just read that last sentence again. Here is the difference between the wise training of the will and the always unwise and unjustifiable breaking of the will. In the story where the boy refuses to call the lady by the proper term, note that the mother turns quietly away, taking the candy with her. She's not angry, she's not out of control, she is completely in control. And the child has an hour to meditate on which he really prefers, the candy or disobedience. And of course, the child concludes that he wills to do the right thing.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.